This shiur, as well as all of Seder Kachem's Lila Nishmas for Yaakov Tzvi Kupiatsky. Today's shiur is Masech Erechin Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis at the third Mishnah of the Amud, the last Mishnah of the Masech. The Tarak Daisha teaches us that certainly around the Ori HaLevim, the cities of the Levim, which we will discuss extensively Be'ezer Hashem in today's shiur, they had two parts, a sada and a migrash. A sada, and it was in a specific order. Migrash is an empty area outside the city, and a sada is where they planted trees, a garden. The way Rashi, most Rishonim learn, each one of them took up 1,000 amma. The migrash is 1,000 amma, the sada is 1,000 amma. The Rambam seems to learn that the migrash was 1,000 amma, the Sada was 2,000 Amma. There's also Machlokes Achronim, how to understand the Sada. Does it actually have to have trees? Or is it mean that if there are trees there, they may not be uprooted? And furthermore, that we should have that area designated for trees, but not actually having to have trees. So the Mishnah begins, a nice and sada migrash. The area designated to be the sada may not be made into a migrash. And furthermore, v'loi migrash, the area designated as the migrash may not be a sada. And certainly, v'loi migrash ir, v'loi ir migrash. The area designated to be the migrash can't be used for living. And the area designated for living can't be used as a migrash. And all the Rishonim say that even though the Mishnah is speaking about the migrash not being turned into an ear or vice versa, the same would be by a sada. You can't make the sada into the ear or the ear into the sada. Why does the Mishnah speak about the migrash? Simple, because the migrash is closer to the city than the sada. So if the migrash, which is right next to the city, can't be transferred into ear, certainly sada, which is further, which is certainly the same din applies to the sada. Amar Belazar, Mehmed Vamamur, when was this said? V'arei Levim, strictly by the Arei Levim. Avre ba'ar Yisrael, when we speak about the Ar Yisrael, their halach is Eisen Sada Migrash, Migrash Sada, Migrash Ir, V'loi Ir Migrash, but, he says, you're not allowed to take an area that's an ear and turn it into a Migrash, because there's another concern. Shlei Chrivu is Ar Yisrael. If you have an ear, if you have a city that's designated for living, and now you're going to make it into a Migrash, and take away the houses, that would be terrible. There's a very fundamental machlokes, how to understand this Mishnah. Many Rishonim, and that's the way it seems that our Gemara points in that direction, so we have a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah. Tanakhama says that this rule of Sada Migrash applies to all cities, Ari Yisrael and Ari Levium. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's only by Ari Levium. There are Rishonim, however, who learn that the Rebbe Elazar is not arguing with the Tanakhama. Rebbe Elazar and our Mishnah is coming to explain the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama made a statement about not Sada Migrash, preserving the Sada Migrash. Comes Rebbe Elazar to say, what was the Tanakhama speaking about? Ari Halavim, not Ari Yisrael. And according to the way we're explaining, we have now a very fundamental machlokes. If only the Orei HaLevim have this rule of Migrash and Sada, or is this rule of Migrash and Sada by every city? And there are a number of opinions that I saw. One opinion is that, indeed, the Tanakhama will hold the Midoraisa, there's a din of Migrash and Sada, even by Orei Yisrael. Other Mefarshim want to distinguish between Orei Levim and Orei Yisrael, that by Orei Levim it's a din Doraisa, and by Ari Yisrael, it's only a din derabbanan. And then a third shot that I saw is that by Ari Halavim, the rule is that they need to have a migrash and sada, always. By Ari Yisrael, there's a difference if it's a bayis ir chayma, if it has a wall around it. That's when a migrash and sada are required. If there is no chayma, then migrash and sada are not required. And actually, this pshat will be very meaningful as we get into the Gemara. Furthermore, a machloikus rishonim. Interesting machloikus rishonim. According to the opinions that say that the din of migrash and sada apply by Arei Yisrael, is that only cities in Eretz Yisrael or even cities in Chutz Laaretz? And there are rishonim that say that according to Rabbanan, the din of migrash and sada apply not only apply by Arei Yisrael, and not only by Arei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but even by Arei Yisrael in Chutz Laaretz. The question that the Mefarshim ask is that we've just mentioned the other day, the Gemara Masechet Shavuos, Daf Yud Zayin, that the Gemara discusses what was the procedure if they wanted to expand Yerushalayim. And the Gemara there speaks about bringing Karban Torah and Shir. So how could you expand the city, but you have the Migrash and the Sada? So one teretz is that Yerushalayim is an exception to all these rules. Yerushalayim, as we just learned, is Lo Mischalka L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim is an exception. Or the simple pshat is that when they expand Yerushalayim, they correspondingly expand the Migrash and Sada around Yerushalayim. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. According to the opinion that Arei Yisrael have to have Migrash and Sada, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem, we have today in Eretz Yisrael Arei Yisrael, and they're inhabited by observant Jews who want to follow the halacha. So if Pash Pshat and Al Gemara is that the Chachamim hold that Arei Yisrael have to have a Migrash and Sada, so why don't we have Migrash and Sada around the Arei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? So I saw the Pais can make a very interesting reason. They say that the only time the Torah requires Migrash and Sada is when, and this will answer the question we just discussed, is in a city that is set with borders. This is the city, this is the border, and now around the city we have to have Migrash and Sada. But they say, as is typical, as long as there's room, the cities that we have currently in Israel are forever expanding. You start with a nucleus, and Baruch Hashem, as it gets populated, and the more people that want to live in a community, the borders keep on expanding. The din of Migrash and Sada was only said with a city that has firm borders. And maybe that's Pshat in Yerushalayim. Since, as the Gemara Masechet Shavuos indicates, Yerushalayim doesn't have firm borders, because the Gemara says it could be expanded, any city without firm borders never has a din of Migrash and Sada. Continues the Mishnah, HaKahanim Leviim, as we discussed already in the previous year, even though we've been learning so extensively, Baruch Hashem and HaMasechta, the halacha of Bati Rechayman and Yovel, says the Mishnah, HaKahanim Leviim, Meichem Loilem, they could always sell, V'Goyim Loilem, even though we've learned that Bati Rechayman you could only redeem for the first year, Stei Chuzi you can't redeem for the first 2 years, those rules don't apply by Kahanim, Shnei Megulos Oilem Tiyolahem. Very fundamental machlokes, how to understand the words Meichrim L'Olam. Because we had the other day, a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, if you could sell property in the Yovel year. Shmuel's opinion is that the sale is entirely null and void. Rav's opinion is that the sale is a sale, but it immediately goes back to the seller. What our Mishnah says, that the Kohanim Levim are different, Meichrim L'Olam, does the Mishnah mean that the Kohanim and Levim could even do so in the Yovel year? And the Gemara that we learned about, Rav and Shmuel, doesn't speak about Kohanim? Or our Mishnah, even though it's giving so much more flexibility to Kohanim and Levim, doesn't mean that the Kohanim and Levim could sell in the Yovel year. The Yovel year itself, they will agree that even Kohanim and Levim can't sell property. Says the Gemara, Amr Belazer, B'medvar Amurim, when is the din of our Mishnah said? Barei Leviim. Avril, Ari Yisrael, these rules don't apply. Says the Gemara, the Kula Alma, but the Leviim Le Mishaninim. And this is clearly an indication that our Mishnah represents a machloikus. Because what is the Gemara saying? By Ari Yisrael, there might be a machloikus between the Chacham and Rabbi Lazar. But by Ari Leviim, there's no disagreement. Ask the Gemara, from where does that din come? Says the Gemara, Menon Emili, Ari Belazar, Dama Kra, the Stei Migrash Areim Lo Yimacher. That's what the Torah says about the cities of the Levim. Ask them, what does the Pasuk mean? Does the Torah mean that they may not be sold at all? That can't be. Because Nidik Siv Gulas Oilam Tila Levim, that the Levim have the right, unlike Yisrael, and we'll speak about this in a moment more, to redeem the city any time they want, it's obvious that they could have sold it. Because if you can't sell, you can't buy back. Mechlal de Mezabni. Elamai lo yimacher. Elamacher here means lo yishana, that the areas that are designated for Sade and Migrash may not be changed. And as the Rishonim explained, how does the word lo yimacher mean lo yishana? So the Rishonim explained, what happens when a mechira takes place? What happens when a sale takes place? The whatever is sold transfers from one to the other. That's shinui. So using the word yimacher to substitute the word lo yishana is very understandable. Machloikas Rishonim, a very fundamental machloikas Rishonim. What will be the halacha if somebody does indeed violate this pasuk and he changes a sod into migrash and migrash into a sod? The chinuch says he's over the pasuk that we just learned. I'll get malchus. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says he's over the lav, but he doesn't get malchus. What's the basis of this machloikas? Very fundamental machloikas. The Mefarshim explain, and we have this in other examples in the Torah, I'll give another one in a moment, that sometimes the Torah says a rule, a lav, and the Gemara explains that lav, not as Poshup Shat. Our Gemara is a perfect example. The Torah uses the words lo yimacher, and it means lo yishana. So the Rambam holds, the Mefarshim Rambam say, that whenever we have a lav that is not Poshup Shat, it's not the definition of the Pasuk. Of course we understand that the Gemara, Torah Shabbat Peh, explains Torah Shabbat Ksav. But you can't get Malchus under those situations. They bring a Raya. The Torah, we know, very famous. The Torah says, three times, L'shavash l'gadi b'chalei moy. The Gemara Masech T'chulin says, Echel l'sa'achila, Echel l'sa'bishul, Echel l'sa'hanor. According to the Rambam, so we're saying that one of the three times the Torah says, L'shavash means L'y, you're not allowed to have anor. According to the Rambam, there is no Issa Malchus. There is no Malchus for having anor from Bas B'cholov. Why? Because the Torah doesn't say so explicitly. So even though that's what the Gemara says, the Pshat in the Pasuk is, according to Rambam, you don't get Malchus. There's also an interesting question amongst the Achronim. Nana was saying that you're not allowed to take the area, the Migrash, that's supposed to be empty, and you're not allowed to populate it. What does that mean? Does it mean as soon as you put up any structure in that area, you're over the lav that our Gemara just now identified? Or are you only over the lav? Are you only over the lav when you made some sort of a area, made some sort of a, whether it's a garden or a community? And the way the Achronim understand the question is as follows. What does the Torah mean when it says that the Migrash should remain empty? Does the Torah mean that the Migrash should remain empty? Empty. So as soon as you put anything there, even one tree, or the smaller structure, you are over the lav. Or the Torah wanted to be preserved as a migrash. What's the definition of a migrash? An empty area. Just because you put up one tree doesn't mean it's no longer a migrash, and therefore you wouldn't be over the lav until you cause that the name migrash, that the status of migrash should no longer be there. So we learned in the Mishnah, Kahanim Levim, Maichem Lailam V'Goyim Lailam. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that we just learned, the Braisa quotes the Pasuk, Gulas Oilam Tiel Levim. What is the Pasuk teaching us? Says the Braisa L'fish Nemer, as we have learned, the Mispah Shnei Tvuas Yimachalach, that the Halach is if you sell a Steyachuzah, if a Yisrael sells a Steyachuzah, the Halach is he can't redeem it for 2 years. Yachal Avseh Kein, we would think that here too, that is the Halach. Tamalayma Gulas Oilam Tiel Levim. Levim don't have that 2 year rule. And they can be paid immediately. Continues the Gemara. Allah that we learned numerous times, that if somebody is magdish steyachuza, and he's not paid it before yovel, or if someone else was paid it, when yovel comes, it doesn't go back to the original owner, it goes to the kahanim. Yochel afzeh kein, that should be the rule by Levim and kahanim as well, that if they're magdish steyachuza, and they weren't goyelit, or somebody else was goylit, by Yovel goes to the Kahanim, says Gemara Tamalayma, Gulas Oyam Tila Levim. Lefishinam, and there's a third rule that we've been learning. The Kama Baisa Shebi Ir, Ashalai Chayma, Letzmisus. that if somebody sold a home in a Bayis Ir Chaima, if he wasn't paided within 12 months, he could no longer be paided. Yochel Avzakein, we would think that this is the halacha by the Orei Alevim as well. Tamalayma, Gulas Olam Tiyalevi. So our Brice has taught us three rules. That the rule that you can't be paid to stay a chuzah before 2 years doesn't apply by Levim. That the rule that if you magdish a stay a chuzah, it goes to the Kahanim, doesn't apply by the Levim. And the rule that you could only be paid the Bais Ir Chaima up to 12 months doesn't apply by Levim either. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Mahanitarti, the first two rules that our Brice just taught us, Lachai, wonderful. But ask the Gemara, Elabati Ari Chaima Levim Mi Islo? Did the Levim have Bate Ir Chaima that we should want and understand that they only, that they do or don't have a certain statute of limitations until they could redeem it? But Tanya, the Brice teaches us in Masechta Makkos, Aram Halalu, the Levim received 48 cities. The 48 cities we know were the Ari Miklat. Although those 48, as the Gemara Masechta Makkos teaches us, were divided into two groups. There were the 6 Ari Miklat, that if somebody killed somebody else b'shoigig, and he ends up in that Ari Miklat, even unintentionally, wording the Gemara Shloi Midas, he can't be touched. The other 42 are a safe haven, only if he went there intentionally. So the Brice Masechta Makkos says about these cities, Aram Halalu, Enos Mesel Loik Farm Ktanim, they may not be made into small towns. Why? Because since the murderer who runs to this city has to remain there forever, so we have to give him a place to go where he needs, he could get. In a small village, you can't get it. V'loik Krachim Gedoilim. Nor may they be made into large cities. And there's a big machlokes Rishonim as to why not. Rashi seems to learn that when you have a large city with a wall around it, there are going to be a lot of people in that city. And therefore it's going to be fairly easy for the Goyal Hadam to enter the city and take revenge on the murderer. So we don't want to make it, we don't want to have such a situation where it's easy for the Goyal Adam to enter. But I saw other pshatim. One pshat is that we know, we discussed it in the previous year, that a Metzaira has to leave a city with a Chayma. If it doesn't have a Chayma, he doesn't have to leave. So now what happens if the Ritzayach becomes a Metzaira? He can't leave the city. He becomes a Ritzayach, he can't leave the city because he's a Ritzayach. But if he's a Metzaira, he has to leave. So he purposely didn't allow the Ari Miklat to have a wall. They shouldn't have that problem. A third shot that I saw is that a Bayis Ir Chaima may not have a cemetery. And the halacha is that the Ritzayach, not only must he remain in the Ir Miklat, but he's even buried in the Ir Miklat. So now if the Ir Miklat is a Bayis Ir Chaima, so how could he be buried there? So none of the Ari Miklat were Bate Ir Chaima. So now the question is, Ela Ayara Berninus. The only type of cities that they should make are Ayorois, and as the Mepharshim explained, Ayorois means cities without walls, for the reasons that we just gave, and Berninus, they shouldn't be too large, again, for the reasons that we just gave. But what did we just explain? That Levim don't have Bate Yerachayma. So what does the Torah have to teach us? What is the rule? When a Levi sells a Bayis Yerachayma, he doesn't have a Bayis Yerachayma. Amrav Kan, Loi Kasha. Kansha Hukav L'Psoif Yashav. If there was a wall and then it was inhabited, that is fine. Kansha Yashav L'Psoif Hukav. But if the wall was put up afterwards, then it's not considered a wall. So in other words, he's saying that the wall here is a wall that was put up afterwards. And since the wall was put up afterwards, therefore it's not a problem because it's not considered a Bayis Ir Chaima. Ask the Gemara, what, they put up the wall afterwards, he came there before they had the wall. Ask the Gemara, but if the wall was put up afterwards, Miyav HaChayim, is that considered a Bayis Ir Chayim? For Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'ish Kimar K'Bayis Moish Ir Chayim, Shehukov U'Psoif Yashav. It only has the status of a Bayis Ir Chayim if the wall was put up before it was inhabited. V'loish Yashav U'Psoif Hukov. Not if it first was inhabited and the wall was then put up. Yachol, continues the Braisa, Afilu Kifu Yisrael, even if Yisraelim put up the wall after they came to Eretz Yisrael. And that of Gemara is teaching us a very big chiddush. Klai Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael with Yeshuv Anun. So let's say there's a city that wasn't inhabited. And before the Jews inhabited the city, they put up the wall. That's still not going to be enough. V'nema kan chayma. V'nema lahalan chayma. The pasuk says, kol eilu orim b'tzairis chayma. Malahalan oivdik chavim. Those walls were put up by the Akum. Afkan oivdik chavim. So we already learned two conditions to be considered a bias ir chayma. One is that it has to have the wall before people live there. And two, that the wall had to be put up by the Akum, not by the Jews. After Klai Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, the Goyim put up a wall around the city. So you have Akum putting it up. And you have it being put up before Jews inhabit the city. But it's after the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, too late. Nema lahalan chayma v'nema akan chayma. Ma lahalan, the pasuk that we just quoted in Devarim, Parashat Devarim, is speaking about that the wall was put up before Jews arrived and before it was inhabited. Af ma lahalan oiv de kacham kaidim l'kein. Af kan oiv de kacham kaidim l'kein. So the Gemara's question is very obvious. How could the Torah speak about bayis ir chayma with a Levi city is never bayis ir chayma? Says the Gemara, Tegmer of Yosef Bereid of Salach Sid Kamei Rapapa Kigan Shnuflam Hain Megushayim. That the city, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael and they divided up the Ari Leviim, the Leviim got a city with a wall around it. But ask the Gemara, but we just learned that not a lot of have walls. Hain Megushayim L'Misrun Tino Kaimi. You're supposed to tear down that wall. Answers the Gemara, you're right. For the reasons we gave, you're supposed to tear down the wall. Aravashi, Itzrich. Sakadat Chemina, Adam Istatri, that until the wall was torn down. Adam Istatri, Mistatri, Imizdabni Lichlatu, that before the wall was torn down, if the Levi sold a home in that city, it should have the din of a Bais Ir Chayma, and he only has up to 12 months to buy it back. Kamashmuan, that no. So what our Gemara is teaching us, just to recap, is that a Levi city, the Ari Levi may not be Batei Ir Chayma, and even if they started off as Bayis Ir Chayma, the wall is taken down, and it doesn't have the din of a Bayis Ir Chayma if the Levi remains, even if he sold it before the wall was torn down. So the Rishonim ask a very important question. Al Gemara is saying that in order for a city to be considered a bayis ir chayma, a number of conditions have to be met. It has to be that the wall was put up before people lived there, and actually it had to be that way before Klai Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael. So we know, unfortunately, the rule of Batei Ir Chayma doesn't apply, as we've been learning in our Masechta, because we don't have Yovel. When you don't have Yovel, you don't have Batei Ir Chayma. But the rule of Chayma does apply for Purim. Because we know that the halacha is, as is stated in Masechta Megillah, and the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, is that if you have a city that has a Chayma wall around it, Mimos Yeshuv Anun, you don't read the Megillah on Yud Al Adar, you read the Megillah on Tezvav Adar. So, even if we know, because our Mishnah in the previous year listed such cities that have a wall, but how do we know that that wall was erected before people lived in the city? Maybe that wall was erected after people lived in the city. And Al Gemara just taught us that if a wall was put up after the people lived there, it's not considered a wall. So how can we be sure about any city with a wall that it should be considered a city with a wall that you read the Megillah on Tezvav Adar? So Rishonim gives three terutz. One teretz that they say is that Api Adibur, that when Al Gemara and the Gemara Masechta Megillah teaches us that these cities are considered Batei Ir Chayma, there's Nevuah in the Gemara that says you should know that these cities had walls that were put up before the Goyim lived there. One teretz. Another teretz, simple teretz, is typically a city had the wall put up before the people lived there. Because they decided that this is going to be a fortified city. And a fortified city first puts up the wall and then the people live there. A third teretz is that maybe the Akum lived in the city before the wall was put up. But when Al Gemara says that a wall is only considered a wall if the wall was put up before the people lived there, that's talking about Jewish inhabitants. But Akum inhabitants don't have that rule. And therefore, even if the wall was put up after the Akum were living in the city, it doesn't bother us. As long as there's a wall, and the wall is up by the time Yeshua came, that's Yisrael, it's going to be considered by Seir Chaimah, and you would read the Megillah on Tezvav Adam. The Pasuk says, Tana Rabbanan, Gemara analyzes another Pasuk. K'stei Acherim L'Koyin Tiyach Uzasai. Ma Tam Elayim, what is this Pasuk teaching us? It says the Gemara, Menayin L'Koyin Shigdi Shtei Charmai. We learned earlier in our Masechta that there are two types of Cherim. Cherim by the Kabayis and Cherim by Kohanim. So let's say a Kohen received a field as a Cherim. Cherim by Kohanim. And he was then magdish that field. Shlo Yoyimah that the Kohen should not say, however, Yotz l'Kohanim, we know that the fields that somebody is magdish go to the Kohanim by Yovel if the owner did not buy back before Yovel. Verei tach siyodei. And the way that we should explain this, the Shita says this, the Kohen makes an argument, I was magdish this field. It's not actually in my possession. But from all the Kohanim in the world, I am the Kohen that has the most connection to this field. Because at one point it was my field. Yes, I was magdish it, but at one point it was my field. So therefore, when Yovel comes and the field is given to Kohanim, it shouldn't be given to all Kohanim, it should be given to me. Teishali. And he makes the following argument. If I as a Kohen will get the stechuza that somebody was magdish and didn't redeem, or somebody else redeemed, Bishal Atzmi. So this field that we just explained, he has more of a connection to, like Kalshkein, that he should get. And the Rishonim add to make it the Shmaker, that the Kohen says that I am from the Mishmer that will be serving in the week that Yovel falls, and therefore I have more of a right than any Kohen. So he has two things working in his favor. Number one, he had this connection to the field that we just described. And number two, he's anyway in the family of the Mishmer that's going to get the week that Yovel falls out. Tamalimer. For that, the Pasuk says, V'hoya asod b'tzeisa b'yovel, k'kodesh l'shem k'stei acherim. So the Torah, that we read the Pasuk in the Pasuk, the Torah is using stei acherim to teach us a rule that would apply to stei achuza. The Torah is comparing stei achuza to stei acherim. But ask the Braisa, v'chimalamadnu m'stei acherim. What possible rule do I need to learn from stei acherim to stei achuza? Ma'ata, it must here now be a situation, hareza bolalami, that if we learn Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is trying to teach us a halacha from stei acherim, from stei achuza, from stei cherim to stei achuza, v'nim tzalamid. And that's the opposite happens. We use stei achuza to teach us a lesson for stei cherim. Ma stei achuza shel Yisrael. Just like the stei achuza of Yisrael, we know what our halacha is. That if he didn't redeem it before Yovel, or someone else redeemed it before Yovel, and he didn't get it, yoytz mitachas yodoi, u'mischalekas l'kahanim, all the kahanim shearing it when Yovel comes, af stei chermo, so too is the halacha of the stei cherim of a kohen. Yoytze mitachas yodai, it goes out of the control of the kohen, even though he had it previously, and it's not that he gets it when Yovel comes, even if he's in the mishmer that's serving that week, but rather mischakas l'achav kohanim, he shares with all the other kohanim. That's what the Braisa teaches us. So to summarize, what the Braisa teaches us is that if a Kohen received a field as a stei cherim, as a chermoy, and he was magdishit, and he didn't buy it back, when Yovel comes, it doesn't go back to him, it goes back to all of the Kohanim of that mishmer, and he is a member of that family, he'll get a portion, but won't get the entire field. So the Gemara analyzes this braisa. Amar, the braisa just taught us that the Kohen makes the following argument. That if somebody was magdish to stay chuzah, I get a portion of it when Yovel comes. So too, I should certainly get from this stay chayrim. Ask him, mitami. Hasam zoicha ba'alma. There, what's his argument? When a Kohen gets a shear, if a Kohen is the Kohen of the Mishmer, of the week of Yovel, he gets one part of that field. This Kohen in our Braisa isn't asking for a part of the stei cherim that he was magdish. He's asking for the whole thing. So his argument is flawed, asked the Gemara. His argument was that he should get the stei cherim, the entire stei cherim, because he gets stei achuzah. But what is the din by the stei achuzah? He doesn't get the whole stei achuzah. He only gets a portion of the stei achuzah. So why should he get the whole stei cherim? Mi dami. Hasam zoicha ba'alma. He gets just a portion of the stei achuzah. Hacha kashakale. He wants to get the entire field. So what's his argument even? Answers the Gemara. His argument is different. Arav v'chama itzrich. Saka datachmina. Harav aksiv vish eskadoshiv lo yiyya. We've learned many times, Baruch Hashem, that the Kohanim were divided into mishmairis. 24 mishmairis. Actually, the mishmairis were further divided into batei av. And the rule of mishmairis is a very serious rule. You gotta follow that rotation. And if a Kohen comes and says, I want a duri avoid, he can't. If it's not his mishmer. There's one exception. The halacha is that a Kohen who brings his own carbon, anytime he brings his own carbon, could do the avoida. And therefore the argument of this Kohen, who was magdish, the stei cherim that he received, is a very similar argument. He's saying that just like we have a rule of Mishmairis, but that rule is set aside when the Kohen brings his own carbon, similarly, the rule that the Stei Cherim, when Yovel comes, is divided by the Kohanim, should be set aside when it was the Kohen that was Magdish to Stei Cherim, just like it's set aside when the Kohen brings his own carbon. And now point out the Rishonim, that everything we said previously doesn't have to be said. Before we said that part of the Kohen's argument was, and he's from the Mishmer that Yovel falls out by. Now we don't have to say that anymore. Because his argument is an entirely different argument. His argument is that all of the regular rules ought not to apply. And therefore it doesn't make a difference. Is he from the Mishmer that Yovel is going to fall out? The only issue that should be reflected on is that this Stei Cherim was once his. That the Kohen who brings his own carbon is allowed to do the avoid with it. Here too, if the Kohen was magdish his stei cherim, kikadoshiv dami. It should be considered like his kachim, and he should get it back, and not have to share it with anyone, even if it's not from his mishmer. Ask the man, what's the argument? Mi dami, kachiv, labrishusai, hachabrishusai. The way the Rishonim explained this line of Gemara is as follows. Why do the Kohanim get a share of the Karbonis? Because that's their pay. They did their Avodah, so they get the share. And therefore, they deserve that share. When you talk about a Stei Cherim, he didn't work for it. He got it as a Kohen. So how could you compare a Kohen's rights in the Cherim that he got to the Kohen's rights in the Karbonis that he gets a portion of? Ela Amar Rav Nachman Itzrich. Hoyl Sakadat Chamina. Hoyl Ksiv Kechuzas Hoylam Hilahem. The Torah says regarding the Kohen's field Kechuzas Hoylam Hilahem, which means, as we learned in the Mishnah, let's say a Kohen has a Stei Achuzah, a real Stei Achuzah, a field that he inherited. So we learned in the Mishnah, and we learned it earlier in the Braisa as well, and he was Magdish that Stei Achuzah. This is not a field that he got because he's a Kohen. He happens to be a Kohen. But he got the field because he inherited it. And he's magdish that field. And he's not goyelit. Or somebody else is goyelit. What happens by Yovel? He gets it back. So we would think, that that the fear that he got as a stei cherim ought to be treated the same way as a fear that he got because he inherited it. That only a fear that he inherited has this rule that if he was magdashit, we don't care when Yovel comes and goes back to him. Not a fear that he got because he's a kohen and got as a stei cherim. And the Rishonim point out the same rule would apply. That let's say we had a kohen that got a field because they divided up a stei chuzah that nobody redeemed or the owner didn't redeem, and the kohanim got it. That field also will not go back to the kohen. And then the kohen was magdashit. That field won't go back then when Yovel comes. Because the only rule, the only time that this Yovel rule, the special rule of Yovel applies to kohen, is in a field that he inherited, no other situation. Mefarshim connect the beginning of our Masechta and the end of our Masechta in a very meaningful way. We began the Masechta. The first words of the Masechta were Hakol Marichin v'Hakol Narochim. Hakol Marichin v'Narochim. That everybody can make an Erech pledge and everybody can be the subject of an Erech pledge. What does that mean? A very interesting situation. That not only do I look at myself, I look at you. I look at you. And I look at, and I could say, I'm going to give your Erech based on your age and based on your gender. So what happens here is that one Jew is looking at another Jew. So teaches us the Masechta. Yes, you may look at another Jew, but a chuzasai in cher maloi. Only if you're going to look at a chuzasai at the good of the Jew, then you should look at another Jew. Chermoy, to look at another Jew, cherm we know usually has a negative connotation, that may not be done. There's a very interesting Turi Evan. Turi Evan discusses, relevant to the halacha that we learned in our shiur today, that the Gemara Paskin, that in order to be considered a Batei Ir Chaima, it has to be a city that the wall was put up and then the people came to live there. But let's say people lived there and then the wall was put up, it's not considered Bais Ir Chaima. Discussed with the Turi Evan, what would be the halacha if you had people living in a city, then only the wall was put up, and then after the wall was put up, new houses were built. So the Turi Evan Paskins, you'll have a very interesting situation. For the houses that were put up before the wall was put up, it's not about the Ir Chaima. For the houses that were put up after the wall was erected, it will be about the Ir Chaima. And then he goes on to suggest that if it turns out that most of the houses in the city were put up after the wall was built, then the entire city will have a rule about the Ir Chaima. A big chiddush of the Turi Evan. Some Seifer seems to disagree. But some Seifer says it is or it isn't. And if the city had a wall only after people lived there, then the fact that people built houses after the wall wouldn't make a difference. What is Pshat, says the Chassam Sofer? Now, Chassam Sofer says a very important point, which is a great way to end the Masechta. He says, why does the Torah treat Batei Ir Chaima different than in all the other cities, as we've been learning extensively in our Masechta? He says, Batei Ir Chaima has a wall. And why did they put up a wall? Because they wanted it for fortification, to protect themselves. And that actually, he says, represents something inappropriate. Because that means that they're not relying on Hashem. They're relying on the wall. And we want to separate that city. And therefore, if the people specifically design the city, that first I'm putting up a wall, and then I'm coming to live, that's a city that represents a place where people don't rely on Siyata D'Shmaya. They want the wall, not Hashem. And therefore, that city should be treated differently. But if the people came to live there, and they didn't have a wall, so they're living the way we're supposed to live, relying on Hashem. Afterwards, the wall is put up, for whatever reason, it's really not a problem, and it's not going to be considered Batei Ir Chaima. The lesson of a Batei Ir Chaima, says the Chassam Sofer, is the lesson of Siyata D'Shmaya. And who needs more Siyata? Everybody needs Siyata D'Shmaya. But certainly the Lomdei Torah needs Siyata D'Shmaya to be matzliach in their learning, and they need siyat, and they deserve siyata d'shmaya for learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata d'shmaya. Hanu lachamayich sadeh v'slik lach masechta erichin. Hanu lachamayich sadeh v'slik lach masechta erichin. Hanu lachamayich sadeh v'slik lach masechta erichin.